Last week we took 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 and 2, and we're going to continue with our study next week. Today we're going to take a special message from out of this section. We're going to read to you the first 20 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then there's something that just jumped out at me this year as I'm reading over this chapter. This entire chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of His people. That's you and me. This is very important for us. But there's one phrase in all of this that just jumped right out at me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. I make known to you, brothers, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you have been standing, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firm to what word I preached to you, unless, if not, you believed in vain. For I delivered to you at the first what also I received, that Christ died on behalf of our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He has been raised the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas, which, by the way, is the Aramaic name for Peter. Then to the 12. Some of your manuscripts will have the 11. Then after that, He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, out of which the majority are remaining until now. But some have fallen asleep. Then afterward He appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, as though to one born out of due time, which is the Greek word, by the way, for miscarriage or abortion. He's describing His birth in Christ. He appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not sufficient to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which is towards me is not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than them all, but not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, whether I be the one preaching or those, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ is being preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some amongst you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has Christ been raised. But if Christ has not been raised, then the message, the proclamation of us, is nothing. It's void, and your faith is void. And we are found also as false witnesses of God, because we testified, according to God, that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if indeed the dead are not being raised. For if the dead are not being raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Therefore also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they have perished. And if in this life we are only hoping in Christ, we of all men, or all people, are to be pitied. One verse jumped out at me in this argument. You can tell that there were some amongst the group in Corinth that did not believe in the resurrection. They said the dead were not raised. Paul says our gospel message is that Jesus died on behalf of our sins, that He was buried, and that He has been raised on the third day, and that He appeared to many different brothers. In one instance, over 500 at one time, a majority of those were still alive in Paul's day, to give testimony to the fact that they had seen the risen Christ. But there were still some, just like in the body of Christ today, there are various doctrines that are shared and believed. Some within the church in Corinth did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. He says, then our preaching is nothing. Our preaching is void. Our preaching is for nothing. No substance to it whatsoever. And Christ could not be raised from the dead if the dead are not raised. That's just... And if Christ is raised, then there is a resurrection of the dead. But there's one point in verse 17 that really struck me. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, and the dead are not being raised, then your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. I think that's an interesting statement. You see, because when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for my sin. But if he were to die and to be buried and not rise from the dead, even though he made sacrifice for my sin, I still would die in my sins. Because here's the point. The point is that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for my sins. And not only for me only, but the Bible says for the whole world. Since the penalty has been paid, salvation in Jesus Christ is a free gift. He paid for that. But if Jesus Christ never comes to my heart, if Jesus Christ never gives me that spiritual birth by coming into my spirit, if he is dead, then I can never be saved. This is the whole part about salvation that we're missing today. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But unless you are born of his spirit, unless Jesus Christ himself, his spirit comes into your spirit, you cannot be saved, because that is what saves you. Him paying the penalty on the cross took care of all of the requirements that God required for salvation. But I still needed to receive Christ. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then we are still in our sins, because we could never be saved. Now, this is the key about the resurrection. I might have mentioned this to you before. As many thousands, if not millions, of people around the world this week and even today are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christians do not remember an event. They remember the person. In John chapter 11, you remember Lazarus was sick and Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. And when Jesus came into town after Lazarus had died, Martha said to Jesus, "If you had only been here, my brother would not have died." He says, "He will be raised up at the resurrection." She goes, "Oh, I know the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. Then in the last day, he will be raised up." Jesus said to her in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he should die, yet he will live." At that moment, Jesus took a doctrine and transposed it into a living person. It isn't the event of the resurrection, it's the person. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So the resurrected Christ is very important. And it's very important to approach him and look at the resurrection from that standpoint rather than just an event. See that Jesus is the resurrection and he is my resurrection. We saw in salvation in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where Peter says, "We give thanks to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The new birth in Christ, salvation comes because of the resurrection of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, in God's abundant mercy, with the abundant love with which He has loved us, while we were dead in our sins, chapter 2, verse 6, He has raised us up together in Christ and has seated us together with Christ in the heavenlies or in the spirit realm. So I was dead in my sins, spiritually dead. And Jesus Christ resurrected in me His resurrection life. And that's how I got saved. If Jesus was still in the grave, I'd still be in my sins, even though He paid the price at the cross. We understand that salvation is a free gift from God because of His sacrifice, but the actual coming of Christ, the resurrected one, comes into someone like me who is dead in my sins, and His life brings me from out of the spiritual dead. So Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is picturing resurrection in chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 as the means of salvation. That you are resurrected in Christ, empowered by Christ. Secondly, after we're saved. He said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, he was praying for believers that we would come to know the exceeding power in those working in those who are of Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, verse 20. Not only does the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrected Christ save me, I can't be saved any other way. But His resurrection power lives within me. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, "Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings while being made conformable to His death." To know that resurrection power, we know what it's like to be conformed to His death and be going through the struggles of the flesh dying and experiencing death in this earthly life. But Paul says in the midst of the flesh being crucified, we experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ because the resurrection Himself lives inside of each one of us. That's the power we're governed by. That's the power that energizes us spiritually in the spirit realm. Paul prayed that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 in order for believers to come to know that power. All morning long we've been talking about hardships and trials and how difficult it is to see the Lord and to know the Lord in the midst of difficulty and hardship. But His resurrection power, His resurrection person lives inside of us and sustains us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He wants us to come to know that power, and it is a learning process that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has resurrected me and is a resurrection life in me every single day. Like I say, Philippians 3:10, Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. And that should be our prayer. The third thing is the hope that we have in the future. The resurrected one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, brings us hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 53. We'll take it when we get to the end of our study in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul told the Christians in Corinth that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So we have a problem, especially with the fact that we will be raised up, that there will be a resurrection. Jesus said He will call and call people out of the graves. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:51, he says, all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead will be raised up and they will all be changed. We're going to be changed into a spiritual body. He says this corruption must put on incorruption and this mortality must put on immortality. The hope for the future. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the pathway that's going to lead me right into the gates of heaven. Because it'll be, I also will be resurrected. I also will be called out of the grave. I also will be changed into a spiritual body. I also will live and be housed in this spiritual body throughout eternity with the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just an event. It's not just some event to remember once a year. It's for us to take time and stop and focus on the fact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ Himself. He is the resurrection. And that even though He paid the penalty for our sins, being born of His Spirit, experiencing the resurrected life of Christ in our hearts and in our spirits is absolutely necessary for salvation. We cannot be saved without it. Even giving mental agreement to what the Bible says about Christ, even accepting the fact of what Jesus did for us on the cross, doesn't save. Only receiving Christ. And it is His resurrection power and the resurrection power of His Spirit that sustains us. And this is the difficult part. Because I and we have the tendency to focus on our circumstances, focus on our physical bodies, focus on the horizontal around us to evaluate our condition, when in reality, though all would be falling in around us, the body is dying, decaying, corrupting, circumstances are tough. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is there to sustain us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And not only that, the hope for the future. One day we will be raised. The end is in sight. And the end is to be realized in Jesus Christ. So it's not just that we remember the resurrection event once a year. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the opportunity to stop and think exactly what is the resurrection and what is its significance. Because celebrating the event once a year doesn't do anything. But celebrating the resurrected one, who is our spiritual resurrection and is our life and is our hope, our living hope, is brought to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Every day. That is something that God's Spirit ministers to our hearts in the midst of our human evaluation of the things around us. It is our resurrected Savior that saves us, sustains us, and gives us our security. Nothing else, no other event, no other person can do that. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together this morning to remind us that we would still be in our sins if You did not rise from the dead. That You did pay the penalty for sins, but it is Your resurrection power that saves us, that brings us from the spiritual dead. It's Your resurrection power that sustains us, for without You we cannot do one thing. It is Your resurrection power that gives us our security and hope for the future, as one day these corruptible, corrupting, decaying bodies will put on spiritual bodies, and we will forever live with You in glory. Paul says, nothing, no trial, no tribulation here in this earthly life can be compared with the glory that we will experience with Christ. Lord, may Your word and this time together be an encouragement to us. In the times of difficulty and times of distress, may we look to You with that sustaining power. Look to You with our trust and our faith. to trust you and put our life into your hands for you to work out your will according to your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.